Hello Zimbabwe and welcome to Live Talk, a Women's Roundtable. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Thabo Kancube. Today on Live Talk Women's Roundtable, we are talking about prospects for the year 2024 from a women's perspective. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. 2 days after a top Hamas leader was killed in an apparent Israel drone strike in Beirut, U.S. officials say they are working to contain the spread of the Israel-Hamas conflict while continuing to urge Israel to safeguard Palestinian civilians. VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more from Washington.
Hamas deputy leader Saleh al-Arouri was killed in a drone strike in the Lebanese capital of Beirut late Tuesday. A targeted killing Israel has neither confirmed nor denied. At the State Department on Wednesday, spokesperson Matthew Miller was asked whether the U.S. believes Israel was justified in killing Arouri. Miller had this answer.
I will say that he was a brutal terrorist with civilian blood on his hands, and I will leave it at that.
Right. Experts say they are concerned the killing could trigger a wider regional war in the Middle East and stall negotiations for the release of the estimated 129 remaining hostages Hamas is holding in Gaza.
Because I think this potentially complicates any efforts at negotiations for hostage releases combined with a ceasefire, because this individual was a key conduit in those talks. He previously had lived in Qatar, and I think was seen as one of the key voices there.
Israel carried out new airstrikes Wednesday in the Gaza Strip, while the Israeli army said it was on high alert for attacks by the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah following the drone strike. One expert told VOA she believes Israel is listening to the U.S. and others who urge them to enter a more targeted phase of the war. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu must also weigh domestic political concerns.
And so I do believe Israeli leadership is hearing that. I think there are separate calculations going on politically inside Israel, and particularly by the Prime Minister, who has a deep interest in maintaining his own control of the government, even though latest polls show that I think most Israelis, he's got like maybe 15% support in total from the entire Israeli population. So he's looking to appease his right-wing members of his coalition in order to continue his role as prime minister.
The Israeli campaign to crush Hamas has left vast parts of the Gaza Strip in ruins. The health ministry in Hamas-ruled Gaza said the Israeli offensive has killed more than 22,000 people. Israel launched its offensive after the October 7th terror attack by Hamas that left about 1,200 people dead. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Back to our main topic, 2023 has come and gone with mixed feelings. Most women have seen it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But today we want to focus on prospects for the year 2024 from a women's perspective. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today, we are taking a look into 2024 from a women's perspective. To discuss this issue, we are joined by a social entrepreneur, Ms. Stabile Gandhi Ndlovu, and Ms. Loveness Mainato, the Albino Charity Organization of Zimbabwe founder. Welcome to Live Talk, ladies.
Welcome. How are you? I hope I found you well.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, all of us.
Thank you. We'll start with you, Loveness Mainato. We understand 2023 has been a difficult year for some and a successful year for some. What's your take on the year 2024? What are you looking forward to looking at the projects that you are working on?
Yes, I do agree with you that 2023 has been a very difficult year, especially for the women, and not only women from Zimbabwe, but from all other Sadiq countries, as we saw quite a number of women suffering because of some wars, because of some pure blood, because of hunger. Most affected is women because the woman is the one responsible for the family and the children, the family and the children's upkeeping. So as I round up since the new happenings of 2023, I, as a woman, I do have a strong feeling that in 2024 could be a better year. Though some may beg to differ considering the climate change and our women, especially from the albinism society, are dying under the ozone layer because of the excessive heat and the substances being released into the atmosphere causing climate change. So we do have a very negative impact on climate change that will result in another chance of suffering again, because we can't imagine how difficult it is when there is no nutritional addition, no crops growing that well. Some are pointing to cash crops like maize, like tobacco, because all those crops, they need excessive rain. Right now here, we have experienced a different climate change altogether. Here in Zimbabwe, we used to farm early in between August and December, but now it's totally different. And seriously, we are expecting it could result in another hunger spell. So considering that our women are already disadvantaged, they are already marginalized and looked down upon, especially women with albinism, it might be very difficult for them without family, without food crops, to withstand the current economic situation.
Thank you there, Loveness. I will come to you, Stabile. Looking at what he has been speaking about, the drought, the hunger, the issues that he raised. We see most of the times that the women have to carry that burden in the home of feeding the family. What's your take? What do you look forward to this year? Do you think it's going to be a better year, and why?
Thank you, Talata, for that question. I would just like to agree with most of what Loveness has said, but I also believe that from the challenges she raised, it's a good time to identify opportunities around that. So around the drought space, I think we really have a great opportunity to utilize access to information around smart agriculture, especially as women, and grab those opportunities to be able to not only feed our families, but feed the nation. It's exciting to also note that government actually has a specific program for women around the agricultural space just to capacitate them economically and socially around the agri space. And there's a lot of work and research being done around climate smart agriculture and opportunities around that. So for me, just hammering on that point of drought, hunger, and the role of the woman, I think 2024 gives us an exciting opportunity as women to tap into that and see what we can do and what role we can play, because even traditionally, it's the women have always been in the forefront of feeding families. So I think we really have a unique position to come up with solutions for the future and how we can feed generations to come. Outside the drought and climate space, I think while I agree there's a lot of challenges that women are facing, I mean, there's lack of access to resources, information, the list is endless. But I do believe that efforts have been made to ensure that women are not left behind as significantly as before. I mean, there is intentional programs that are being done to capacitate women across the varying sectors to just ensure that they have the adequate knowledge to be able to thrive in different sectors of the economy. And I know there's a lot of NGOs, a lot of private sector companies and banks that have really strategic and intentional programs that are meant to uplift women and just ensure that the plight of women is heard. But I do agree there is a lot more work that needs to be done. But with the introduction as well of the women's quota in Parliament and women's council quota, we also hope that at a policy level, these women that we have elected to stand for us will be able as well to ensure that there's laws and policies that protect the dignity of the woman and the dignity of the girl child in 2024. So I really do believe that exciting times lie ahead.
Thank you. There, Tsokere Kwamuri, Loveness, Mainato, Tishitarisa, Nyaya, yekuwa nika kwemika na yeshe mapizimusi, tanzo hapa chitaro anyaya yekuwa na mashoko access to information. Titarise sema zimai muriku wana mika na iye yaka vurika ere uyeshe mchitarisa shekare variku shanda ne mipasi pesanganore.
Well, right, before I respond to that, let us highlight that on the other hand, we are so grateful to our government because there are some civil society organizations operating on the ground, that is the disaster risk management team. So they are getting, they are ever ready for any suspected outcomes of the heavy rains and the like. So on the other hand, I can say the women, the children are protected. Then on the issue of the opportunities, because we are seeing women in legislative positions, and we are seeing women in being capacitated, I mean, say, they are being capacitated. There's capacity enhancement. We are having more women in mining, we are having more women in farming, we are having more women in industrial management positions. So, we can inquire for there are opportunities for women empowerment currently as we speak right here in Zimbabwe. So, I can foresee the future of women not big. I can see they are rising to another level because they are being given opportunities to excel through empowerment projects. We can see that there is an opportunity for every woman to excel in his or her area of expertise. Like, if you look academically, some of the others are being trained in entrepreneurship, participants from Abero.
No, it's not in can you hold that thought, Pane, caller on the line? Hello?
Hello, Magadi.
Tino Farah Magadi.
Tinotenda
munga endera mberi mapinda muchirongwa.
Tinotenda chose, tinotenda. Ya, ngati takatarisa pa nhau nyika, vakadzi zvinoziva zvedu.
Unfortunately, we just lost that caller there. You can continue, Loveness. Sorry, I interrupted you there earlier on.
So, I was saying there are signs of great improvement on women's empowerment, starting from the youth to the women, because the government and the government is trying to curb the chances of gender-based violence and the like. You know, when women are not empowered, they are high risk of being them being abused, emotionally abused, physically abused, verbally abused, and everything. But when a woman is empowered, she's empowered the nation, and that woman is capable of producing good for the whole nation, whereby seeing our women being self-capacitated for self-sustainability. So I can say in a nutshell, women are being empowered in Zimbabwe.
Thank you. Coming back to you, Stabile, we are looking at issues around abuse. We had Loveness raised that issue just at the end of her contribution, where she speaks about a situation where if women are not empowered, they are bound to be abused. It can be sexual abuse, it can be whatever, a form of harassment. Looking at those issues and also drug abuse issues, where are we in terms of helping the girl child in Zimbabwe?
I think there's been a lot of intentional programs, like Loveness mentioned, we see civil society is also playing a big role. But government has also declared the issue of drug and substance abuse as a national crisis. So I believe we would see the issue of drug and substance abuse, just to touch on that one first, is not only just a challenge for women, but a challenge, it's a community issue that we have currently in Zim, and it's something that must be looked at from all facets. The issue of social abuse, more violence against women, I think has been a topical issue for quite some time. But I think there have been a lot of intentional programs that have been put into place that help women firstly just identify when they are in the wrong.
Unfortunately, it seems we've lost Stabile there. Coming back to you, Loveness, we are looking at issues around teenage pregnancy abuse and drug abuse, focusing specifically on young girls with albinism. Have we seen any issues there, and what are the plans for the year 2024?
Focusing on drug and substance abuse, I haven't seen much damage to the girls and young women with albinism. But so I'm thinking that the males, the young boys, the youth, they are engaged in drug and substance abuse. Then when they are totally drunk or physically drunk or dangerously drunk, if I can say, when they are addicted to these drugs and substance, you know, they end up being perpetrators of violence to the girl child. They end up abusing the girl child and returns the drug a girl or the girl child. The resultantly, we are seeing unwanted pregnancies, we are seeing rising cases of HIV and AIDS in the school among the youth and STIs. And like I've alluded before, we are seeing a lot of gender-based violence, which is now a result of drug and substance abuse that see our beneficiaries, the Albanese in society, the girls being affected much. That is, they are now subjected to some forms of abuse because of drugs and substance.
Thank you. So looking at the year 2024, what do you think should be done in terms of fighting all these issues that young girls and young boys are facing if we are to have a future for Zimbabwe?
Actually, this is a very sad story, if I can say, because there's a lot of damage, great damage as a result of drug and substance abuse. And in future plans, I think it's very, very noble to have awareness campaigns and community sensitization, starting from schools, even from a tender age, if I can say, the good parents, upwards, because already these young ones, they are also engaging into drug and substance abuse. And some of them can't believe it. Like, for instance, I heard of a child who was using gas from a gas tank that they used to cook with at home. You know, so there are so many ways people are engaging in drugs. You can imagine some crampers, some theaters. You can imagine all forms of the glue and the light. I'm giving examples of the substances and that's being used for the drug and substance abuse going on. So I think, like, right now here in Zimbabwe, and yes, the police are playing a big role as a law enforcement agent, but I think there is need for stricter penalties so that whoever is found responsible in selling of drugs, in taking of drugs, in taking of substances, the substance abuse, they have to be given a stricter penalty than the one which is there right now. Of course, I do appreciate the stance being taken by the law enforcement against the police. They are trying by their level best to get rid of those involved in selling of drugs and the abusing of drugs. But still, I feel enough hasn't been done because it appears there are some gray areas that need to be touched. So, stricter penalties is the only way of getting rid of these drugs.
Thank you. Focusing again on the issues around discrimination when it comes to young girls and women who live with albinism. Have we seen that happening? And for the year 2024, do we think we can see a better Zimbabwe where people view them in a different way? And what is being done to ensure that we make sure they are not discriminated?
Yes, that still remains the greatest challenge we are facing in Zimbabwe, that we are still experiencing stigma and discrimination, stereotyping, you know. But I'm happy that we are totally different from other countries in East Africa, whereby people with albinism are being regarded as a form of wealth by using their body parts and their blood and the like, and even their hair and everything. But here in Zimbabwe, our greatest challenge is discrimination. We are still experiencing discrimination, though we are making great efforts. We are making great strides in alleviating the challenge of discrimination and stigmatization. But we still feel we have a bigger role to play as role models or activists against marginalization and discrimination of people with albinism. So we shall continue the fight until we win. We won't rest because right now our voices are being heard, since we are voices for the voices. And I do appreciate that the efforts are being recognized as the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, His Excellency Comrade Emmerson Mnangagwa, Mnangagwa, launched a policy document in 2021 that is involving everyone with a disability, to include those without the vision. So you can see that the laws are being changed for the better, but still, on that note, there's a lot to do on the ground. So as to reach out each and every corner, you know, there are still some marginalized areas where this is the discrimination is still on the rampant.
Thank you. Looking at the disability policy that you just mentioned, how has it been received by most people who are affected by it? And also looking at, do they have access to the document? And by access, I mean, do they really understand what's on the document? And has there been ways to empower them so that they really understand their rights and what's on the policy document?
I can say people with disabilities, to include our audit inspector, they are now aware of this policy document, though they need for us to educate them more about this disability policy. But as of now, they can stand in for their rights and they can defend themselves. And I can see that there is an understanding of this of the policy document on disability issues. But on the same note, the government through the Minister of Public Service in a lot, because already they established another department, which is the disability department. They are appointed a director for disability issues, which is this post wasn't there before. So the director for disability issues who is giving working flat out to give more and more light to people with disabilities, so they can they know their rights and they know how to defend themselves and they know what measures to take if they feel the unfairness on their side. So I can see.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There, Loveness. Stabile is back. We had lost her, and unfortunately, our time is running out. Stabile, you can conclude within a few seconds.
Thank you very much, Tawoka, for the opportunity. Apologies, my network was a bit bad. I think just in conclusion, I can say that I do hope that we have more participants in the fight against inequalities that women suffer, because inequalities and abuse against women is not just a women's issue, but it's actually a violation of human rights, and it actually stifles the growth of society, communities, and at the end of the day, the nation at large. So I really do hope that we can come together and work together, both men and women, to just ensure that women are not left behind and they're at the center of conversations, not just about women, but about building the economy and ensuring that there's the appropriate social development needed for communities to thrive.
Thank you so much there. Let me take this opportunity to thank you all for coming on the program. Unfortunately, our phone lines were acting up today and we couldn't get in touch with some of the people that we wanted to join the program. And that brings us to the end of our show. Let's make a date again next Thursday on behalf of the Women's Forum. We wish you a prosperous 2024. Signing off in Washington, I am Tabaka Nguven.